Welcome to the Lou Cutino Show, where we can learn to reimagine our lifestyle.
Welcome to Reimagine Your Lifestyle. On today's show, we have this amazing man, Raven. Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure to have you here. I know we connected a couple of months ago on Instagram, and between then and now, there's only one word that comes to my mind when I see you, when I hear you, when I see all the benefits that your work has, you know, been bringing out to the public, and that word is impact.
Thank you.
That is impact. So, Raven, thank you for being on the show today. I've been meaning to connect for the longest time. Number one, okay, I don't know what people call you. I know you're the food farmer, and I know a lot of people I've seen on Instagram, they say, hey, you're a health influencer, you're this, that. But I have a personal take on that. You are not an influencer. I'm actually against that word. You know, I like to use influencers for the people who are influencers, who like to influence people, and there's nothing wrong in that. But who you are to me is a change maker. You are making impact in today's world. And I love that word impact because people can talk a lot without action. Okay. And then there are people who take the right action and then talk post that action and make impact. The impact that you've made on our country right now is tremendous. Tremendous. I think I'm a fan of the word awareness because only when there is awareness can we start doing the right things.
Yeah.
We're living in a world where before we get into your story, I want to tell you what my biggest difficulty in my practice of integrative and lifestyle medicine is. So in our practice of medicine, we're not alternative medicine. We're not Ayurveda. We're integrative. As we speak, my patients are going through chemo. Our patients are going through surgery. They're on diabetic drugs. Our job is to address the root cause, let the doctors treat them, manage side effects of medicine, and over time, bring down their symptoms, address their root cause, change their lifestyle. And your own doctor will say, hey, you no longer need these pills.
Yeah.
We use food, we use exercise, we use deep sleep, emotional wellness. And the biggest problem is, where do you get this food from?
Yeah.
That's been our biggest issue. Where do you find honest food? And although today there are so many brands that claim honesty, the point is we're starting to realize that all of them may not be that way.
Yeah.
So what are we feeding our patients? What magnesiums are we giving them? What qualities of D3s? What quality of food are we giving them? And I think you are making that change in our country right now. I know a lot of people on Instagram, and I followed your post, were saying, what an amazing boy. But I think you're an amazing man. You know, a boy moves to a man when they have purpose and they're able to back their purpose with action. So once again, thank you so much for being on the show. It's called Reimagine Your Lifestyle because today, everything that we're trying to fix in our life, whether it's relationships, whether it's health, it all involves our lifestyle, how we're living. So on today's show, I want to bring out the best of you on how people out there can reimagine by making little changes, like what product do I choose? How do I read a label?
Yeah.
You know, how do we change our lifestyles based on that? So I'd love to start off from your journey. I know you were in the US. We both share a favorite city, Manhattan, and you were in NYU as well. I remember doing a couple of lectures there a couple of years ago. And what took you from the US back to India? And what moved you into this space? You know, it's clear you have a vision. It's clear you have a purpose. So let's go back into your college days right up to now.
Yeah, so I did my undergrad from NYU, studied finance and business, which is very different from what I'm doing now. But after that, I studied nutrition for a year.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I got slightly interested in nutrition. And I saw that even the health conscious people, like the unhealthy people and people who are not health conscious, they're anyway making not so healthy choices. But even the health conscious people, they're going into the gym and they're having so-called sports drinks and energy drinks and things like that. So I realized that there's a lot of gap, and that's like something which I could possibly work on. I did not work on it actively. I did write a book where I mentioned this is one of the, we are neglecting how to read a label. And I mentioned that 10 years ago, people know about that now, but even 10 years ago in my book, I had written that. So I did try to raise awareness, but it did not get as much of traction.
Mm-hmm.
I realized not too many people read books anymore. So my message has still been the same in the last 10 years, just that my medium was books earlier. And then I did a bunch of other things and I realized that one of my goals is to try to do the most good I can do. And I'm not just saying it because it sounds like a good thing, like a catchy thing to say. And like both of us agree that one of the most important things in our life is health. And health is very strongly determined by a lot of factors like lifestyle. And one of the things is food.
Mm-hmm.
And the food we are eating is packaged food.
Mm-hmm.
In the thousands of years of human history, we've been eating packaged food only for the last 100 years. So if we solve packaged food, we're almost solving one of the most important issues in our life. Once again, one of the most important things is health. Health is determined largely by food, and food we're eating is packaged food. So by solving packaged food, I can solve one of the most important things in life. So I wanted to focus on this space, which is why I left the US and made a very, very bold call, leaving the US, leaving my job there, coming back to India to try to focus on this, raising awareness. And making videos on it, trying to raise awareness. And the first video itself, spread like wildfire. And I just kept at it, kept making the second video, third video, fourth video, and it just kept on and on. And now it's become like more of a health movement. It's become much larger than who I am. It's become a whole countrywide thing and everyone's talking about it. So to wrap it up, my message has always been the same in the last 10 years. Even back then I was saying, read a label.
Mm-hmm.
Why aren't we doing that? We should know what's going inside our body. The only difference is my medium has changed from a book to social media, because I feel most of us are spending a lot of time on social media now. So I focus where we spend our time on.
Thanks for sharing your journey. I want to go back to a point which I completely agree, that ever since ultra-processed and packaged food has come in, and we can really back up what you said with our day-to-day cases that we see. Let me give you a simple example. We had almost 30% of a lot of patients before the moment COVID hit. Before COVID, this particular group of people would never get their results, whether it was losing body fat, bringing down a fatty liver from a grade 2 to a grade 1, obesity issues, metabolic syndrome. When COVID hit us, if you remember the first month, no one had access to outside food, restaurant food, packaged foods, because delivery services were at a minimum.
Yeah.
Almost all of those people in that group started to get results only because of the absence and the scarcity of packaged food.
Wow.
And that is the impact it has today on most of our patients. I keep talking about the fact that we're in a health-obsessed world. Everyone's looking for the next gadget that can get them healthy. And they don't realize by just a week, it's like a challenge. And I'm throwing that challenge out to everyone there today. Just for 7 days, get off packaged and get off ultra-processed. And just see how you feel after 7 days.
Yeah.
It's insane, because you're absolutely right. What we feed our body is going to show on the outside and power trillions of cells in the human body. So I completely agree what you say, and you're fixing a huge, huge part, especially in a country which the next big challenge is. There is awareness, but there is also false awareness.
Yeah.
Like, you know, people of power, people of status, you know, endorse products. These little TV advertisements reach villages where, you know, we work a lot with patients that come from villages with cancer. Tara Memorial, small kids, people with... And when we look at their diet, I couldn't even believe that certain brands have made their pricing half, products smaller, but they've reached the remote parts of India.
Mm.
And these kids and these parents, because it's been endorsed by someone of status and power, they think it's the right food to eat.
Yeah.
And they start eating these foods, moving away from their natural grown foods. And then people wonder, why does cancer happen? And why are people getting sicker and sicker? Are you seeing this as a challenge as well? Because while you create awareness today, you've grown from year right up till year. But around you, there are still people of power who endorse products which are not fit for human consumption. I would love your take on this.
Yeah, 100%. Like, I'm getting a lot of support from all like super powerful people, like a lot of Bollywood cricketers and like, you know, even politicians, they all like sending me messages. The sad part is that even the people who are supporting me, the next day I'll see them doing an advertisement of like some product.
Yeah.
And in fact, the funny part is now in the last 1 week itself, I've been called in like by all these TV channels to speak about like, you know, certain like, you know, the issues which have been going on the television. And I've been speaking about all of these issues, and all the journalists, they agree with me that, you know, what you're doing is completely right. And then all of their channels as well, the same news channels which cover these topics, and they're like, oh, it's such a matter of concern and things like that. All the advertisers, the minute my interview ends, there'll be a commercial which they'll show the same product that I'm speaking against.
Yeah.
So that's a big challenge. And I have spoken a lot of public schools, underprivileged schools, and the more you go to lower-income families, the more they believe in the advertisements.
Mm-hmm.
So I have seen people saying that, you know, many of these noodles packets, they write as much fiber as three rotis,
mm-hmm.
or like they write things like that. So I've literally seen like underprivileged like children, their families are not giving them rotis.
Mm-hmm.
They're giving them instant noodles because they think they're getting the fiber of three rotis. So that is the challenge. And the same with many cereals, they again write as much protein as one glass of milk, as much fiber as this, that. So instead of all of the natural stuff, they're giving the packaged food, thinking that it'll give them the protein and the fiber.
No, but what I like about, and that's true. I mean, this deceptive marketing has been the way for the longest time. But what I like, again, and why you're on this show, I keep noticing the things that you do, like journalism. Let's be fair about it, okay? I don't know if they're here to fix a problem or they're here to grow on controversial information and what's happening.
Yeah.
Because what you said is absolutely true. I'm not here to judge them, but you found a way over and above that. Rather than depending on journalism today that will support you in what you're saying about these advertisements, but at the same time tomorrow, they're supporting the people who are making these advertisements without going out to them. Like, I would honestly expect, like, if I've had an interview with you today and you've told me that, you know, this advertising has to stop, how does this journalist now go to those people and say, hey, what's your comment?
Yeah.
He's got a point. Raven's got a point. And if you are sending this message to villages, what's happening?
Yeah.
But that's where the system is broken. It isn't fair. And that's why journalism sometimes is probably not meant to fix a problem. But what I like is you went over that and you started going down to the root cause, the schools.
Yeah.
And I've seen the work that you've been doing with students, educating them, because I believe the change is going to happen when you catch them young.
Yeah.
Because the news is always going to, you know, fool us. But the point is you've started going into schools without anyone telling you, which is a fantastic job, Raven. Really, really fantastic. Tell me about your experience with schools and what you've been trying to do with them.
So I strongly believe that you look at the topmost nutritionists and like anywhere, the doctors, they're always focusing on people who are already sick.
Mm-hmm.
So they look at patients who have the type 2 diabetes or have the liver issues once they're 40s and the 50s, 60s. But as you said, the change begins very, very young.
Yeah.
So I try to focus on those people who are not already sick, who have the potential to change themselves early on. And I strongly believe, and I'm sure you're going to agree on this, that just the way we study history, geography, mathematics, integration, differentiation in school, we should also study nutrition and food. So my job is to go to these schools and just teach them basic nutrition, and we don't go anything advanced. So like, what is a calorie? How much protein our body needs? How to read a food label? What are the 5-6 most common deceptive marketing tools that companies use? So I just go and teach these students because, again, I feel like they are going to, like, you know, for the next 10 years, 15 years, their entire lives, they can make slightly better choices as a result. And yeah, so my goal has always been that. So I've also, you may have noticed, I've started a movement called Sugar Board.
Yes.
Very simple infographic on how much sugar there is in all of the soft drinks.
Mm-hmm.
Again, this is a very easy activity which children can replicate and they put in their homes and like they're doing it. So everything I try to do is always focused on simplicity. So if I can explain something in a complex way or a simple way, I'll always choose the simple way. Sometimes the challenge with that is people think that you don't have as much knowledge if you explain something in a simple way. But it's fine, like it's a trade-off. But yeah, the idea is to always focus on the children and try to grow and focus on the root.
But let me add in over there. 13 years ago when I started my practice, my skill was simplicity.
Yeah.
Teaching things in a simple way. Teaching whether it's mitochondria, whether it's a tumor, whether it's angiogenesis. Simplicity, people are attracted to it. It's our fears because the world today is programmed for complexity.
Yeah.
If you sound too simple, people will actually think that, oh, this is too simple to be true.
Yeah.
Like a simple thing. We're telling people, get off ultra processed for 7 days. How simple is that? But people can't believe that it will fix most of their problems because it's too simple to believe.
Exactly,
you know?
And that's some of the challenge. Like, you know, I tell people to reduce sugar and it's like, that is not enough for them. Like, you know, they want some like very complex solution and like they feel like, you know, if you give a simple solution, it's not worth their effort.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, that's one challenge. But I think most people, once you want to reach a large audience, you have to simplify things.
True.
And I think that's what I've been trying to do.
No, great job. You know, I wanted to talk about the fact that you know, there are many brands that you've been calling out, and for the right reasons as well. I'm sure you go through your difficulties behind the scene.
Yeah.
I mean, we had a couple of legal notices ourselves when we did certain, national television episodes on certain brands and stuff like that. And we're not as active as you are. How are you managing all of this? Do you have support? Do you have a team, a legal team that is supportive of you? I would love to understand what's happening behind the scenes, because in front of the camera, it's all easy for you to put yourself out there, risk a lot out there. How are you handling all of this?
It's honestly pretty difficult. It is challenging because just imagine, put yourself in my shoes. I was in the US doing a pretty good job. I left all of that, came to India. Within 2-3 weeks, I made all of those videos. Within 3 weeks, I had 4 to 5 legal notices.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't have a job. I've left all of my income. And suddenly I have all these biggest companies in the world, like all the MNCs fighting against me.
Mm-hmm.
So this is like from a personal standpoint as well, like, you know, my family, my relatives, they're like, what the hell are you doing? You spent the last 13 years in the US and now you're fighting against all of these MNCs and you're not making money and you're not like, you know, mm-hmm. what's the point of all of this? And the media has focused on one particular issue, like, you know, they one particular legal notice and one particular is very famous, everyone knows about it.
Mm-hmm.
But what they don't know is that there are many, many more brands have also done that, and it's actually gone way more extreme than just a legal notice.
Mm-hmm.
So I've got a 2 crore defamation suit. One brand also was trying to, like, you know, they were putting in a thing like 6 month imprisonment. It's not a joke. So, like, you know, people don't realize how serious it can be sometimes.
Mm.
So, of course, I understand these are scare tactics. So earlier I used to be very, like, you know, if you notice the tone in my video as well, in my initial few videos, I was very, very calm. Now I've got way more aggressive, and I've realized that I intentionally put that aggressive demeanor is because I want the brands also to think that I'm not scared.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because they are essentially doing all of this to scare you.
Mm-hmm.
But once they realize you're not scared and you have the people behind you, you have a lot of, you know, followers and like a lot of people, even the brands get scared. And then they think twice, okay, should we actually send that legal?
Yeah.
So yeah, it's been pretty challenging. I do not have for the first 4-5 months, I did everything by myself. Like first 2-3 months, 4-5 months, I did everything by myself. So I would get a legal notice. I would just read the document and just try to make the best judgment and then go by it. Eventually, now I have like one lawyer who I take help with.
Mm-hmm.
So if I get a legal thing, then I consult him and then he gives me advice.
Mm-hmm.
But it's honestly pretty scary sometimes because they have way more lawyers. They have like a team of like India's best lawyers. I have one guy and mm-hmm. like it's a very different ballgame.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So how do you overcome all of this fear? What keeps you going? Because, you know, it would be fearful for you. I mean, there are risk factors. We're all aware of cases that have happened around the world where people have spoken about things and it's not gone too well for them. I'm sure you have those fears. How are you managing your health at an emotional level, Revan?
Yeah. So it's, as our t-shirt says, faith over fear. I also realize that I'm getting a lot of public support.
Mm-hmm.
And it will be an injustice now if I, like, you know, back down and if I do not give it my best and do mm-hmm. not fight. So I just think that, yes, it is. And I sometimes, more than the legal risk, I'm more scared of the physical risk.
Yes.
Like, you know, what if they do something?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Legally, I feel I'm right. You know, I'm speaking just the way like a movie reviewer reviews a movie. I'm reviewing a food product. At the end of the day, all I'm doing is reviewing a food product.
That's a nice way of looking at it. Yeah.
Like, you know, there are thousands of reviews on Amazon. I'm also just reviewing a product, technically.
Yeah. Mm.
So I'm not scared of the legal thing. I'm more scared, you know, what if some guy gets pissed off and like just does something.
Mm-hmm.
So that is something scary. But I just think that the pros outweigh the cons. Like the mm-hmm. yes, there is like some hesitance. What if something happens? But what if, like, you know, the best, like, you know, like we always think like what if the worst happens, but what if the best happens? Like,
awesome,
you know, it's
yeah.
like millions and millions of people getting healthier, and that's what's been happening so far, at least. You know, I'm hoping it continues to grow.
Mm-hmm.
So I just think that the pros can outweigh the cons.
Mm-hmm.
And another one line which I forgot to say, which about the legal aspects, is I have one line for all these brands now. If you send me a legal notice, I will get you publicly noticed. So,
okay.
Yeah, so you can send me your legal notice. You can do whatever you want legally.
Mm-hmm.
But I am going to showcase publicly that you've done that, and that may backfire for you, and that may be a really bad PR move on your part as well. So companies also, which are like, you know, slightly strategic, they realize that sending and fighting legally is not the best way, because that can backfire.
But do some of these companies, because, you know, when we tried to, in COVID, set up this ethical food and lifestyle platform, because, you know, we have like 500 plus patients a month. They also want to know, Luke, if you're saying eat this, where do I get it from? So we thought, like, we'll put all these brands together in one place where now you can go there and buy what you want. Because if you go on Amazon, there are 50 types of coconut oil, but all qualities are different.
Yeah.
So we thought we would kind of create this space and put up all of these brands over there. Now, the point is, people have the option of a healthy choice. Some people use it, some people don't.
Yeah.
Now, coming back to the fact that when you have all of these brands, okay, we had many brands that we would reject. We had a whole team of food scientists that would look at their certifications, look at everything that they're giving us. And at one point, we had rejected almost 3,000 products. Out of these 3,000, maybe 20% of these companies came back and said, Luke, what can we do? We want to change. We want to make a change. We don't want to be rejected. And some of them made the change and came back.
Yeah.
Do these companies come to you and ask you that, hey, Revanth, you know, we want to change our product. We want to make it healthier. Do they come back and ask you, or is it just a complete fight?
I think
fight?
It's because of my online reputation. I think the companies are slightly scared sometimes to approach me. They're like, what if he does something online and things like that. So the largest companies do not reach out for all that. They have reached out, in fact, to promote them. It's kind of crazy. Same company will send me a legal notice, reach out to, or can you promote me? I'm like, are you? Like, but like, they do not, the largest companies don't, but the one level lower, the startups, which are also pretty big now, like some of them are pretty big, they're all over. Those companies are sometimes reach out that, okay, we are using this, we're using Jaggery, is Jaggery actually better? We're using this sweetener, is that actually better? And things like that. So they sometimes reach out that, we genuinely want to do good.
Yeah.
We may not necessarily have the right nutrition knowledge, but we genuinely want to help out. So yeah, the one level lower companies sometimes do reach out.
Yeah. No, yeah, because, you know, there are a lot of companies out there that are starting and they don't have that knowledge, but their intention is good.
Yeah.
You know, and those are companies that can actually be kind of, you know, helped or advised in the right way, probably a revenue stream for you in the future to consult with them. Revanth, because we have a lot of patients with cancer, you know, their nutritional requirements are very, very different from the average people.
Yeah.
Like, if they're consuming a particular food product, it actually has to have a no nasty ingredient list. Very clear, very clean, because those ingredients can mess up their immune system, interfere with the efficacy of their chemotherapy. So during the lockdown, we tried to come up with those no nasty lists, and very few brands had it. The other brands came up with a valid point that, who are you to judge our product when the FSSAI has approved it? Okay, they have a valid point.
Yeah.
Because we are functioning within the laws of the land, which is absolutely a valid point, which is why maltodextrin and all of this stuff finds itself in most of the products. And a lot of the manufacturers actually say that, I'm following the rules of the FSSAI. Do you come across these challenges?
All the time.
And how do you think, I want to take your expert knowledge, how do you think this can, you know, the system can change?
Yeah. So first of all, every company, like, you know, anytime I make a video on any company or product, or and they legally respond, their first line is, we are following what FSSAI is doing.
Yeah.
And I always say this one thing, just because something is legal does not mean it is ethical. You can always find loopholes and like find something which is technically correct. That's the way many pan masala brands market themselves as elaichi products.
Yeah.
What they're doing is legally correct again. Like, if I were to make a video on like showing that, they would technically, they're under the laws. But all of us know that they're doing something like ethically wrong. So that's my point, is that yes, those companies are technically correct, but that doesn't matter. You're still giving something which is unhealthy.
Yeah.
And like, we need to, laws with time, as we discuss this and make more and more awareness, the laws itself may change slowly. And in fact, as you've seen in the last 3-4 months itself, like, you know, FSSAI, for example, have now asked many drinks to not label themselves as health drinks. That itself is a regulatory change. So there are many changes like that which can keep happening. Just recently now, FSSAI has also been asked to inquire and go deep into the baby products and see how much sugar that it has.
Yeah.
So it will slowly get legally also, it'll get improved. Obviously, mm-hmm. the change is a bit slow. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's how I look at it.
Okay. Has the FSSAI reached out to you as well for your expertise, and have you all had any conversations around this?
FSSAI has not reached out, okay. but many, like the child rights body of the government, mm-hmm. they have reached out and Amazing. They've been very nice to me.
Okay.
So I, in fact, spoke at the child rights body a couple of weeks ago as well. I was speaking to students on like exam stress and mental health and things like that. So the child rights body, at least so far, they've been doing a very good job in the last few months. So they mm-hmm. supported me in many of my endeavors. So they also were the lead who resulted in all these malt drinks not being called a health drink. So mm-hmm. it was a child rights body which went after them.
That's amazing.
And yeah. again, when all these baby products having sugar, it was a child rights body which again supported me, and they were like, okay, like, you know, we'll investigate this further. So the child rights body has been pretty good so far, mm-hmm. and they've been making efforts.
I think that's what I really love about India at this particular point is, with awareness, there's also possible change happening.
Yeah.
There's a lot of hope that we can see.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's not going to come easy, but it
and
is
the
there.
Best part about yeah. this, Luke, is it is not political.
Mm.
So this problem that's been happening has been happening for the last many, many decades.
Mm.
So regardless of which political party has been ruling, this problem has been there. So mm-hmm. the beauty of this is, I have been getting both right-wing and left-wing support.
Mm-hmm.
Usually, if you are people who are a bit controversial, like I'm a relatively controversial guy, usually they get pigeonholed in one political side. Like mm-hmm. either they go one side or the other. The beauty is, health is apolitical.
Yeah.
Health is for everyone. So I've got support from the most right-wing and the most left-wing people.
Mm-hmm.
Even the journalists. Like, you know, there are some journalists who are kind of
yeah.
indirectly mm-hmm. left-wing or right-wing. So both journalists have been supporting me.
Mm-hmm.
So that's been pretty amazing. And I see so many people, like, they don't care about politics. They don't care about religion. They care about health. And that yeah. is, like, the only thing I feel has been interesting, being able to unite India in some ways above even religion and mm-hmm. Politics.
Revant, you're doing so much of great work, and I'm sure like millions are being impacted. One is awareness, two is action.
Yeah.
Okay, because today at the end of the day, when we look at patients every single day, most people know why they've fallen sick and what they need to do to get better.
Yeah.
But the problem is human action.
Yeah.
A lot of people know that I shouldn't do this. It's like spirituality today. That's also become a fad. There's good spirituality where people study, learn, and practice. And then there are people who only read, talk, but don't practice what the spiritual part teaches them. So we have a gap in our country of human behavior, which is human action. Like, okay, now a lot of people know that a particular malt is not a health drink.
Yeah.
How many of these people, it's a reflective question, will actually make the change or go back to their habits? Like you look at, you know, damaged cancerous lungs on a cigarette box, and you still go and smoke a couple of yeah. cigarettes. So the point that I'm trying to, you know, push out as a reflective question over here is, while we can continue to increase this awareness, you know, what else do you think needs to be done to change human behavior? Because I know you're going to schools as well.
Yeah.
You know, most of these kids will do this stuff, but I've seen the gap, because we do a lot of talks at schools. And, you know, when we speak to children, they know it. We say, like, but what happens? They say, no, I read a label at home, but my mom wanted to buy this product. Or my dad wanted. There's a break in the gap of education.
I think one thing which can reduce the break will always be there to some extent, is easier alternatives.
Mm.
So the problem, even with my videos and what my awareness, earlier I used to say, don't have this.
Yeah.
And people are like, okay, you just say, don't have this, don't have that, don't have that, then what should we eat?
Yeah.
The alternatives that I was giving in the beginning were a bit expensive. And they were like, this is not affordable.
Mm.
So now I've been trying my best to find affordable, convenient alternatives.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like if you just say, okay, biscuits are bad, malt drinks are bad, and noodles are bad, that's also beneficial in some ways.
Mm-hmm.
But you need to also be like, okay, this is alternatively, you can have this.
Yeah.
And that alternative has to be very, very simple.
Mm-hmm.
If you ask them to do anything complex, like some complex recipe or thing, it will not work. So I feel that reduces the gap. It still does not solve it entirely. That's health is a journey. It's a marathon, as you know. Yeah. It's like, you know, what one thing you learn today it just accumulates over time, and maybe the change you'll actually make is 5 years later.
Correct, yeah.
Like I myself, I'm still, even though I'm in the health space, it's not that I'm perfectly healthy. I still make mistakes with health.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a journey, and every day you learn, like, okay, now I can make this change. For example, I don't drink enough water.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that drinking more water is like, you know, I need to drink more water, but I still do not do it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like I myself am also slowly getting better with things, and it's, mm-hmm. it's just a journey, and with time you get like better and better.
Right. Talking about your health, what do you do to stay fit? You know, you travel so much, you're doing so much of work. What's your health regime? How do you start your day? What do you do to stay fit?
So I keep it very simple. My goal is not to, like, you know, it's not be, never been to, like, you know, become a, like, have an 8-pack or a 10-pack or become a bodybuilder or anything like that. It's just to be living a nice, regular, good life. So I try to work out about 4 times a week.
Mm-hmm.
Try to avoid packaged food as much as possible. It's not that I do not have it at all. Again, there's a misconception. People think because of my online that I'm so aggressive. Oh, this brand is not good.
Yeah.
People think I don't touch anything. Mm-hmm. I also have chocolates. I also have ice cream. I also like indulge in like, you know, all the food. Is just that I'm more mindful.
Yeah.
So I work out like about 4 times a week, like in terms of going to the gym. Besides that, sometimes occasionally I play a sport.
Mm-hmm.
So
what do you play? What's your favorite sport?
So in Calcutta, I used to play a lot of squash.
Okay.
And, recently I've been playing a little bit of pickleball. Mm-hmm. It's been pretty fun. I'm pretty bad at it, but it's been pretty fun. Outside of that, its main thing is, there are 2-3 areas which I'm trying to focus on. One is sleep.
Mm-hmm.
I know you do a lot of work in sleep as well. So earlier, I used to neglect my sleep quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
Now I've been making it a practice to try to reduce my screen time before sleep and trying to like make some quick fixes to try to improve my sleep quality. Been trying to measure my sleep as well a bit.
Mm-hmm.
So that's been something which I'm trying to focus on as well. But yeah, I mean, I don't have any magic, like, you know, it's just a very regular, like what anyone else would also do.
Yeah.
It's nothing very complicated. It's just reducing packaged food, trying to opt for more local food, more like, you know, what's in the season.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's pretty much it.
I love your honesty. I appreciate your honesty because a lot of people think that if you talk about a particular subject, you know, you're going to be an expert in the practice as well. And of course, we'll all eat a little bit here and there. But I love that word awareness.
Yeah,
I'm eating this with awareness. And that's where I really support your whole campaign. Because if we're eating with awareness, at least we don't want to be fooled by the label.
Yeah.
Claiming health reasons when it isn't that way. Because a lot of people don't understand the space.
Yeah. So one thing which I keep saying is, we often like chocolates and biscuits. That's one example which I always use. All of us know chocolates are sort of junk.
Mm-hmm.
But biscuits, for whatever, because of marketing and all of that, many people think it's healthy.
Healthy, yeah.
So people, like even my own mom, she would not let me have a chocolate. Like, you know, she would like ask me, oh, don't have a chocolate in your school tiffin. But she would give me 2-3 biscuits every single day in my school tiffin.
Mm.
So if you multiply it, if you do quick math, if you're having 3 biscuits a day, in seven days, you're having 21 biscuits.
Mm-hmm.
And you're having only 2 or 3 chocolates.
Yeah.
So actually the problem, any article will show that the problem is with the chocolate, but actually it's the biscuit.
Biscuitness. Yeah.
So I do indulge. I have the chocolates. It's just that the biscuits, instead of having the 21 biscuits, I will have 2 or 3 biscuits.
So Revant, in our country today, we've come across this many times. I wanted to know from your experience, this claim for organic and then highly priced organic products. Are there loopholes in the law that people use to make these claims? Because a lot of them are not organic, for sure. But yet they find these loopholes and they claim it, and the middleman is paying a lot more money for something that is not truly organic.
So, yes, it of course, it's like, you know, it's bound to happen because I have heard from people also that you can get licenses by paying some bribe or potentially and things like that. So it is a challenge. However, I would still, the benefit of doubt, like, you know, of an organic, if you can afford it, I would still maybe sometimes give the benefit of doubt that at least there's a chance that it is honest, like the other one, you know, it's not organic.
Yeah.
So that is the case. And the challenge with organic is to make something fully organic. It's not as simple as it sounds.
Mm-hmm.
Like even like someone was telling me, like if a dairy product is organic, even the cow has to eat organic grass.
Correct. Grass fed. Yeah.
So the grass also has to be like, you know, like, you know, it's not as simple as it sounds. So yeah, that's definitely a challenge. And Yeah, and I think these are like, you know, things like organic is at this point mainly for like a very small section, and only if you're growing it yourself can you fully trust
it. Can you trust it? Yeah. Now, I remember how difficult it was. My dad used to try to grow his own spinach when we were living in Goa. And it was so difficult because you would have rats come, you would have normal pests come, and it was so difficult using, he didn't use any pesticides, he used nothing. And it would be once in a way that you got a full crop. So that's how difficult it was growing like a small patch.
Exactly. So it sounds, you know, easier than it is. And someone I know, like he has a huge farm, and he was saying his land is entirely organic.
Hmm.
But the neighboring lands, they use a lot of pesticides and things like that. So if you technically test his thing also, it will not be certified as organic because you know the soil is technically the same.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it's not as straightforward as it sounds. And like the people who are trying to go organic also, they're not evil people. Like, you know, it's not that they are like intentionally trying to. Like maybe some of them maybe are, but like it's not always the
case. It's challenging, basically. Yeah. So for our audience out there, okay, what are some of the things that they should start looking out in labels?
Yeah.
And especially not to be fooled. Like, you know, I just dislike this term hydrolyzed vegetable protein, which people are slapping onto health products and not even knowing what it really is.
Yeah.
So what are some of these things that you've come up in your experience? A couple of tips to our audience that they can get smarter when reading labels and not entirely get fooled.
Yeah. First of all, don't just look at the front package. Turn around the package and look at the back package. That's the first thing, the most basic thing you need to do. The problem is, in India, when we turn around the package, we mainly look at two things, the MRP and the expiry date. Mm. That's the two most common things all across India. There's a funny line about expiry date. The longer the expiry date, the sooner our expiry date. The longer the shelf life, the shorter our life.
Mm-hmm.
The reason is that the more, the longer the expiry date, the more, like, you know, they've added preservatives so that it'll last longer. So ideally, the things which expire sooner, the fresh products are better for you in most cases. There are some exceptions like honey, of course. But the thing which I always tell people to do is look at the ingredient list, where your food comes from, what ingredients is the most important thing. And ingredient lists are listed in order of weight. So the first ingredient is the ingredient highest by volume, followed by the second, followed by the third. So if sugar or maida, like refined wheat flour, is in the first 3 to 5 ingredients, it probably has too much of it. So if sugar or maida is in the first 5 ingredients, you should probably not have it too often. It's fine to have it once in a while, but not have it too often. That's one thing. If another common thing is, if you cannot pronounce an ingredient or if you do not know what the ingredient is, in most cases, it's not good for you. The best ingredients are things which you already know, like whether it's oats, dates, what you already understand what it is.
Yeah.
So try to pick things which you yourself understand. There are many more things like trying to read, like, you know, the basic how much sodium it has. So one interesting thing is, it does not apply to every single food, is we approximately need 2000 calories and we approximately need 2000 milligrams of sodium. So what I sometimes, the quickest way to find out if it's high sodium or not, is just to do a ratio of 1:1. So if you look at the calorie and you look at the sodium, if it's approximately the same,
it makes sense, then
it's 1:1. So it's like sort of like the regular sodium amount. But if you see that it's 400 calories, but it's 1600 milligrams of sodium, you know this 4:1. Then you know there's too much sodium in it. So sometimes the quick tips which I give people, like, you know, these are some quick ways for you to find out if a product is clean or not.
And have you noticed how they play with the serving sizes versus the
So one of the biggest, most famous chips in the US, they used to write 140 calories, which sounds like a reasonable amount. And then out in the top, it was serving size 7 chips. And like, any normal person would have at least 25-30 chips, which is like 600 calories.
Mostly the whole bag, actually.
So it literally, so that is the challenge. Many times they write smaller serving sizes to make the product sound cleaner. And so with a lot of cola drinks, they usually write 200 milliliter. Many times people have 250 or 300 or even more than that. Like, so most cola drinks, they use 200 ml. Many chips packets, they like a 20 rupees chips packet, which sometimes people have the entire thing. they write the serving sizes about like, you know, the 10 rupee chips packet. Mm. But the problem is when you have the entire 20 rupee chips packet in front of you, a lot of people may have the entire thing.
Yeah.
So yeah, people play around and like they write a smaller serving size. So always try to calculate the calories or the sodium and or whatever else based on how much you yourself consume, not on the basis of the serving size.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, I don't always ask people to go and count every single calorie you're consuming. Yeah. I myself don't do that. But still, sometimes to get just a basic idea if this is a high calorie food or not.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you can just based on how much you yourself consume. Like same with peanut butter.
Yeah.
I know you've also spoken about peanut butter a lot, but like peanut butter is a relatively high calorie food.
Correct, yeah.
So if you just have 3-4 spoons of peanut butter, you it's like 500 calories, 600 calories.
Yeah.
So just be mindful of how much you're consuming.
No, I completely back your point because a lot of people, I'll give you an example. A lot of people struggle to lose weight. Okay, and they come to us and they tell us what they eat in their meals. Okay, it fits well within what they're supposed to be eating. But they'll forget to tell us the extra bag of chips, the 4 cookies. And then when we calculate and show them how that's driven them into a calorie surplus, they don't need more exercise. They need to just cut down, you know, the junk food that's giving them the excess calories. But people are trying to cut down their wholesome foods. Oh, I'll cut down on rice. I'll cut down on dal. I'll cut down on veggies, you know, and create a calorie deficit. But the hidden things that get into their day, like someone messaged with incomplete knowledge that peanut is a great source of protein. So they were having 3-4 tablespoons, not looking at the total calories.
Exactly.
And it's not that much protein.
Yeah.
You know, so it's this inaccurate knowledge that causes people to make these, you know, mistakes. So, Revant, what's ahead for you? And, you know, I want to go back to your first point where we spoke about your risk factors and everything else. What support do you need? How can the country support you? See, there's social media, there's likes, there's all of that stuff based on the fantastic work you're doing. But what is it that you truly, truly need? Maybe you get another 10 million followers, okay? But what do you truly need today to take your vision forward?
So again, the vision is to try to get India to not only be educated, but also to be health literate.
Yeah.
In order to take that vision forward, I need some support from different, like, you know, parts. I cannot do it alone. One is, I'm trying to see if policymakers can try to get nutrition in the school curriculum.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to see if, like, you know, things like school canteens, can they have slightly better quality food, like, you know, maybe no soft drinks and like mm-hmm. have some alternatives instead. So that's from regulatory standpoint, these are 2-3 things. From a completely personal thing, last 1.5 years since I've been doing all of this, I've made essentially no money.
Mm-hmm.
And I have not even opened up, like, you know, any donation, Patreon, nothing. Like, you know, mm-hmm. I'm like, you know, thousands of people have reached out, oh, I want to pay money to you. And I've been like, okay, I don't take donations. I just have to figure out some model where I'm both adding value to the world and I'm also, you know, financially also, you know, getting the reward for that. So that is something which I personally need to figure out and need to do it. And I'm also worried that if I start financially doing it, will I be called commercial? Will people start, like, you know, like, you know, right now people are blindly supporting me, but will people then, like, you know, cast a doubt on me and things like that? Because even I need to, like, you know, pay my bills.
Yeah.
So that is something which I need to figure out personally. I just think people should just continue, like, with what they're doing. I think they continue with what they're, like, in the sense that they've been doing a great job with, like, you know, now they started reading labels, a lot of me, like thousands and thousands of people have started doing that, and I think that will have a ripple effect.
Mm-hmm.
Because if companies see that, you know, 5-10% of the sales is going down, they may think of changing their products.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe not their existing products, but any new product they're launching.
Mm-hmm.
I am very confident now that the new biscuits which launch, it's difficult to change an existing biscuit, but a new biscuit which they are planning to launch, they will not be as easy with falsely marketing itself.
Mm-hmm.
For example, a current oat biscuit will have only 1% oats and like 99% maida. The new biscuit which they are launching, I don't think they will do the same thing. Mm-hmm. But now they are scared of what if someone calls them out.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, I digressed quite a bit with your question, but yeah.
No, I feel for you when it comes to that, because of course you have bills to pay and everything else. Have you ever thought about project-led work? Like, so for example, I'm saying it openly for the first time. My biggest challenge today is getting a trustworthy brand to provide what we need for our patients. How do I get the most authentic magnesium? How do I get the most authentic protein? Okay, because some patients need it. And a lot of people going to the gym today have the cheapest proteins, which is spoiling their health more than doing everything else. How do we get the best quality foods into people's homes? If this was a project given to you, okay, which is monetary in nature for you, would it interest you?
Yeah, I could look into something like, you know, if someone has a completely clean product, or like if we can co-develop a completely clean product, then that could be something which I could like, you know, back something. And like, so something like this could be like a massive thing, and I have the necessary distribution in terms of online presence and like even the credibility. And if someone were to bring a completely clean product, there would be some room to potentially collaborate. Yeah. Yeah, things like this could potentially work.
Okay, that's good to know. So I hope people watching this are listening, because right now, I think I'm going to reach out to you personally, because right now I'll tell you what I need. And everyone watching this, whether you own a protein brand, whether you own a nutraceutical company or whatever it is, yes, there is a requirement for your products in the world today. But the biggest issue is, who do we trust? And I don't say this disrespectfully, genuinely, who do we trust? So I would love the top five protein brands. If you are transparent with your ingredients and you can come and tell us that, hey, you are getting what you pay for in terms of the quality of protein and clean ingredients, we would love for our entire audience and all of our patients around the world to know that these five brands exist in our country. And the same thing with everything else, from cosmetics to skincare to toothpaste to every single thing. If you're doing ethical work out there, feel free to reach out to us. Because yes, we want to use your products, and we want to know, make the whole of India also aware that y'all exist if it's being done the ethical way. So do reach out to us. And Revan, we will reach out to you as well, because you will help us fill a gap with your expertise. Like I said, I'm very clear what I need today for our patients. We need better food for them to get better. But you've been doing a great job. Like I said, it's not a job. You've been creating impact. You know, one of my mentors is in the royal family in Dubai. And we spent a lot of time, I handled his sister when she had cancer. And we spent 2 years, you know, through her treatment, spending time out of hospitals, speaking about life. And there was one thing he always told me, have purpose and make sure your purpose creates impact. And that is a legacy all of us leave as we move through this world. And that's exactly what you're doing. Thank you so much for being on the show, Revan. This is the first. There are going to be following shows where we can, you know, come together with ideas that can actually help educate people out there. So many people trying to do the right things, but being fooled.
Yeah.
And the point is, we want to create awareness so that people don't get fooled anymore. And whatever money they spend, they are getting the value of what they put in there. Continue with the amazing impact that you're doing. And if there's anything we can do, ever, reach out to us. We're happy to support you in whatever you've been doing.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Luke.
Thank you.
Stay tuned for more. We're going to continue our journey, learning, sharing, and evolving.